This episode is brought to you by Good Fight. We had the pleasure of hosting founder Amy Galambia not once, but twice to talk about this amazing product, an enzyme that all of us need more of. Phytase is known to substantially increase absorption of micronutrients, protein, and amino acids. This superpower digestive enzyme unlocks micronutrients in your food, helping you absorb more so you feel better, sleep better, and perform better. I can personally say that since taking Good Fight, I have noticed less swelling, better recovery, and much better digestion. And who doesn't want that? So if you want to start feeling good from the inside out, check out our show notes for links and use the code JOINTHEGOODFIGHT10 for 10% off all your orders.
You know, I have been thanked as a volunteer, and it feels sort of silly for somebody to run past me and say, thanks for volunteering. But, you know, it means a lot to know the amount of work and appreciate it, because we wouldn't have any of these great events to participate in. It's because someone has a passion and decides to put it on.
That was Jen Shapka, and this is episode 181 of the Inspired Souls podcast. Hi, I'm Carolyn, and I'm a roadrunner.
And I'm Kim, and I'm a trail runner. Welcome to our podcast, where we bring the communities of trail and road running together and explore the parallels between running and life. Jen Shapka is a woman with a mission who seemingly can't say no, and there are many runners who are grateful she says yes most of the time. Jen has moved a lot in her adult life, and it was the frequent moving that made this now 45-year-old force herself to find a community wherever she landed. With two small kids at home, a husband away for work, and no family around, it was tough to get to the gym or join a team, both of which she'd have promptly quit. Anyway, one day, 9 years ago, she put on her shoes and went for a run, or rather, mostly walking with a little bit of running. That eventually led to longer distances, a few races, and the most supportive and fun community. Currently living in Winnipeg for the longest time ever in one place as an adult, she has time to really appreciate all that the running community and now the triathlon community have to offer. In this episode, we learn about Jen's personal running journey that I'm sure many of you can relate to. Her personal journey is inextricably intertwined with her experiences race directing and volunteering for numerous events around the city. Jen talks about who has inspired her and what she has learned along the way. It is an absolute pleasure to share this conversation with you. Well, Jen, welcome to the Inspired Souls podcast. We're happy to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Our pleasure. So you come to be on this show, interestingly enough, because we had somebody nominate you. So thank you to our loyal listeners that listen to our podcast and send us guest nominations. We do listen. And we did have somebody reach out and say, you've got to talk to this girl, Jen. And as soon as she did that, I was like, I know Jen. So you and I actually have met in another life, you know, almost two decades ago at a friend's wedding. Carolyn, I know you and Jen met each other roughly 2 years ago at a military event. So it's a really small world, but we're thrilled to have you on the show tonight and to get to know you a little bit better. So why don't we start with that? Why don't you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Okay. Well, no pressure. So my name is Jen. I am about to turn 46. And I will start by saying I was a lifelong hater of all forms of exercise. And I continue to be surprised that I now come to, I quite like it. I grew up in Ontario in Muskoka, and my parents and family still live there. But my husband and two kids and two dogs currently live in Winnipeg. But we have crisscrossed the continent through his military career, and am now in Winnipeg, which I come to quite like. Despite the nasty weather today, it is a great city, and I'm happy to be here.
How long have you been in Winnipeg? Because I was reading your bio, and holy, have you moved. Like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, Johnny and I actually have had it pretty good.
It's coming up on 7 years, which is the longest anywhere. Previous to that, the longest was 4, and mostly for a while, it was every 2 years we were moving.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm seeing you've been all over Canada, in the United States, Connecticut, Florida. And then you also mentioned in what you sent us that when you found out that you were posted to Winnipeg, you actually cried. And I gotta tell you, Jen, I did too. I was living on the island. I was an island snob through and through. And I was like, like, there's no way. But I think we've all come to the same place of, wow, does the place ever grow on you? Doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does.
Especially the running community.
It's underrated, Winnipeg as a city. I did cry when I learned we were coming here. But it's got so much to offer. And I had really only just started running when I came to Winnipeg. And that involving myself in the running community was a big part of coming to like the city, learning the city, exploring. It added a lot of value to my life here and getting to know the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so funny because all the moving that we've done, I've always been a runner. So I'm like, okay, hook in with running community. There's my people. How in the world did you find your people before running? Because this is the only posting you've ever been at where you've been a runner. So like, how'd you meet people in Barrie and Vancouver Island and Florida?
Well, long time ago, I learned of one of the earlier moves that if I don't get myself out there pretty quick once we move, I will be sad and lonely and bored. And I'm not naturally terrible at small talk, and I'm not very good at putting myself out there, or didn't used to be. And I made myself do that. And it was often through volunteering for one thing or another, because I didn't work a conventional job for a lot of years. I still don't really, because with all the moving and two little kids, it's difficult. So I've done a lot of volunteering in order to keep myself busy and meet people and be able to be flexible for my husband's very busy job with lots of travel. Yeah. And right. So it's sort of that volunteering is intertwined with running and getting myself out there and doing things, and wherever I am has been really important.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned in your intro there that you were a hater of all forms of exercise in a past life. But something in you made you want to start walking in 2015. And that would, I presume, be when you first moved here to Winnipeg. So can you maybe tell us that story? What's your kind of like running origin story?
Sure. It was actually in Barrie. I remember it was March. It was one day sitting at the table, working at my computer, looking outside. It was sunny. It was like, oh, I should go for a walk. And then my kids were just both at school at that point, and I had time in the day, whereas previously, you know, I didn't have a babysitter. It would have been very difficult to just go and do that. And I thought that I sort of was out of excuses, that I needed to do something. I was getting, you know, I was getting older at the ripe old age of however old I was at that point. And if I didn't start now, it was going to get increasingly harder to start something. And
you're not wrong. Like,
yeah. So I thought, you know, no one's watching me. I'm not a gym person. That intimidation factor was not my style. So I thought, it's a nice day. Worst case scenario, I'll have a nice walk, but I'm going to try and run. And I also know myself that I would very easily talk myself into having gone far enough and turned back. So I had a loop in mind that I think was about 3K. And I told myself, I'm going to do this loop. And if I only run a little bit of it, that's fine. I'll walk the rest. And I did. And then I don't know if I did it every day, but I did it a lot of days when the kids were at school. And I would push myself by, okay, run till the next driveway or till the next telephone pole on this loop. And I started seeing that progress of, okay, well, today I can go one driveway further, or I can run more times than I walked. And seeing that progress kept me motivated. And then the first time I was able to do that whole loop without walking at all was a very good day. Maybe, I don't know if that is the day I became a runner, probably not quite yet, but that was very rewarding that I set out to do a thing, I did the thing, and I found I didn't hate the thing as much as I thought I would.
Right. And now I see So that was 2015, you said, in Barrie. And then I see in 2016, a 10K race. Your first race was 10K. Yes, so obviously there's a little story between continuously running the 3K loop and being able to complete a 10K race. So what happened next?
Well, I, again, had games with myself. I needed a goal to work towards because I wasn't going to do it. It wasn't fun. I don't know if I've ever had the elusive runner's high. I think it's a fake thing that people say to convince other people.
Oh, interesting. You've never felt it.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Or I'm not understanding it correctly. I don't know, but I needed something to keep me going and work towards. And by the time I registered for that, I was probably running more like a 5K and thought, you know, if I can do 5K, I can probably do 10, even if I have to walk some of it. But at that point, the goal was to finish that distance. And I did. And then I've noticed that about myself since as well. Like, I purposely register for a longer distance at a certain time in the future so that I have something to work towards and don't slack off.
Okay. So I'm curious, like the next kind of pin in your timeline that you told us about was jumping to helping to found a run organization, Run Sage Creek in Manitoba the very next year. So I'm assuming at some point you moved there to Manitoba. So my question though, before we get into that is, at what point did you define yourself as a runner? You said, I didn't feel like I was a runner yet at the 3K mark, but after you did the 10K, did you finally feel like I'm a runner?
I think I did before that. I think I went for a run one day in the rain and came back and thought, huh. So yeah. I did that anyway, even though it wasn't nice out and it was probably a little bit windy, and I did it anyway. And that was maybe a turning point.
I must be a runner because I'm willing to do this on a not great day. Yeah, that's a really interesting reflection. Okay, so now let's talk about Run Sage Creek. So Sage Creek is kind of a community in the southern part of Winnipeg, kind of on the outside.
Southeast corner.
Southeast corner of Winnipeg. Tell us what happened there.
Well, that I got involved with through the volunteering and keeping myself engaged in my community aspect. So there was the brand new school that my kids started going to, and there was a call out through the Parent Advisory Council for, you know, looking for people to help organize a community run. And I thought, I could do that. I know how. I've been to a few runs at this point. I like to know what's going on in my kid's school. So sure, I went to that first meeting and there was a group of folks there, and I somehow left that meeting as the webmaster, even though I didn't really possess the proper skills, but figured it was a reason to learn. And there was a race director and the Parent Advisory Council and a bunch of other people doing different parts. And like, I'd never been involved in the back end of a run before, but thought it would be interesting. I'm really organized. I have some useful skills. So we put that together for the following Thanksgiving. So 2018 Thanksgiving. And then again, it happened again the following year during a freak snowstorm in Manitoba. And it was a mess, but we did it. And I learned by that point, I'd been to a lot more runs, participated as a runner, and also as a volunteer. So I was sort of building my skills in the organizing end of running just by participating in different ones in the city. And there certainly are a lot to choose from.
Well, this is where I will just say thank you because it sounds like you could have had any excuse in the book, like, oh, I don't possess these skills, or I haven't been running that long. Like, why me to put this race on? But why not me? Right. It sounds like I'm hearing you say, like, hey, I could give this a go. And then it turned into something really great. Like, what are some of your favorite memories from Sage Creek? Because I know then COVID sort of interrupted it, and then it went to a different season, right, for a bit, and then back Yeah, but you know what kind of, it's still running to this day, right? You're not the race director anymore, but it's still happening, and you must feel like sort of a proud mama getting yeah. that thing off the ground.
A little bit. So I was just like one of many helpers the first 2 years, and then COVID happened in 2020. It was canceled, and then the original race director moved on from the organization and the school pack. I mean, if you've ever been involved with the school pack, it's usually a pretty small group of people doing a lot of work, and they were just tapped out and said, like, we can't do this. None of us are runners. Jen, do you want to do it? And I kind of went, do I? And I decided that, yep, okay, I would. We had a good, strong core group of people who'd been involved in previous years and recruited a few more friends to help out. And we pulled it together for 2021 when the planning started, the public health restrictions in Manitoba were not very limiting. So, but we knew, having seen what had happened with other races through the last year, that it could go sideways at any moment. And I'm a very organized person in that I like to eliminate the potential for chaos. So when I was looking at this and planning, it was really important that I don't want to be planning two separate races, a virtual one or an in-person one. I want to make every decision that we do able to apply to both. So mm-hmm. we kept our costs as low as possible. And and part of that is really transparent messaging with participants or sponsors that, you know, mm-hmm. we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what this is ultimately going to look like, but here's our plan A, here's our plan B. Are you in? We wanted it to be family friendly and low cost, and also just real with a lot of community involvement, which we had great business support from organizations here. And we had a beautiful fall. It was the best weather. The public health restrictions were starting to tighten up a little bit. And then we thought we were in the clear 9 days before the event. And then the province changed it from gathering sizes from 500 to 50. And we cried a little bit. We thought, well, I guess that's it then. I guess we're going virtual. And everyone was really disappointed because we thought we were so close. We would have been mm-hmm. okay. And then we thought, well, maybe there's a way we can do it. The marathon had just gone on in September, and I think they had about 3,000 people. So somehow they got permission for that. Mm-hmm. And so I had been to the Manitoba Runners Association race directors meeting previously, and I knew there were other race directors and how to get a hold of them. And I think I reached out to Rachel at the marathon to say, help. and she was amazing. And she got in touch right away. And she sort of walked me through what I could try and what, you know, if I have one shot. I think this was a Friday night we found this out, and we thought, okay, if we can, we'll give it till Monday, and if we can pull it together by Monday, we'll make a decision. And she sort of gave me our one shot, the structure for what I might try, and somehow we managed to cut through all of the difficulty of communicating with public health in the province and the city at that point. And we got permission and we were able to do it. And so we had to make a few last minute adjustments. And gosh, it's hard to even think back to that time.
I know, right?
Yeah. This is like a lifetime, right? Yeah.
2021.
So yeah. I think you said Sage Creek was the only other sanctioned event that happened in 2021 besides the Manitoba Marathon.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah. If it wasn't, there were only one or two others. And so because of that, we had no medals. We had no timing trying to keep our costs low. Mm-hmm. But we had some elite runners come out to our little community 5K.
Yeah. It's an in-person event.
Right? And it was the worst 6 hours of weather in that entire month. It was torrential. It was awful, but it was also
great. Was it October?
Great. It was October. It was October. Okay. And it was so much work, but it was so great. And we decided, I don't know, very shortly after, we decided, yeah, okay, we'll do that again, but we want to do it in June. We've had a snowstorm. We've had torrential rain. We moved it to June to line up with the school year, and it is still going again for 2024. It didn't happen in 23. I knew I was wanting to hand it off, knowing I'd be moving, and it couldn't get it organized enough to do that handoff for 2023. But it is back for 2024 in September, so it'll find its way in its home, and I think it's just about there.
Oh wow. Okay, so as you continue to tell us your story, our listeners, warning, you're going to hear a lot of volunteering and giving back, as well as some running. So let's bounce back and forth a little bit. Let's go back to pre-COVID. You know, we talked about you moving to Manitoba 2017, finding yourself, you know, putting yourself out there in a new place and ending up, you know, on the organizing committee for Run Sage Creek. Tell us about your first half marathon.
Well, it was the spring of 2018 in being involved in this planning for Run Sage Creek. So being much more aware of what's going on in the running community in Winnipeg. And I think I saw a Facebook post for the Winnipeg Police Service half marathon that happens in early May. And I thought, maybe I could do a half marathon. But Jen, it is 6 weeks from now, and you do not run anywhere near that distance. That sounds foolish. Don't do that. But it made me think, okay, but I've this twig of an idea of maybe that's a distance I could do or would want to try. And so I registered for the WFPS one in October, thinking that was a much more reasonable time frame for ramping up from. At that point, my like casual running was probably 5 to 7K. I could step it up to 10, but a half marathon was a big leap for me. Not knowing any idea of timing or like how what a finish time would be like, my goal was really just to finish it.
Yeah.
And I did.
Smart. Always very smart. I know whenever somebody explores a new distance, I'm like, just finish the distance. Like, don't put a lot of pressure on yourself or else, you know, it could backfire, right? You could end up hating it and all of that. And so how did it go for you? That was, I think I know what happened that year. That was 2019?
So it's 2018, but I know what you're going to talk about for 2019. Yes. So 2018, I did it. It was a great race environment that they do such a good job of like the cheer stations and all of the community support. And I had a great time. I did finish it. I had to walk a little bit at the end, but I finished it running and I was very proud of my accomplishment. And I was super mad that my husband parked so far away and I had to walk there after the race.
It's hard to park close at that race.
It is, yes.
Well, congratulations. You did your first.
Thank you. I did.
Yeah.
And you finished feeling like that wasn't so bad, like, or I want to do that again. I feel like I could do it better. Like, what were the feelings afterwards?
That I wanted to do it again and run the whole thing. That I felt like that was attainable. That I think my goals are in pretty small increments usually. Like, I don't want to hurt myself. And it's a big time commitment too, that I have just accepted that I don't necessarily have the time to commit to really training to do a long distance or increase my speed tremendously.
Okay. So you continue to run and it sounds like you did some fun events. Like what else were you doing around your marathon training and your personal running experience there?
Well, let's see. There are lots of fun, like sort of what I would call novelty runs in Winnipeg. There are a couple of beer runs, which is where you run and then drink a beer at a brewery. I don't think I would do very well with the kind where you do a lap and chug a beer. That is
beer
not for
mile.
Me. No, can't do that. Nope.
So you did the like brew house tour.
Yeah, for sure. And there are a lot of great breweries in Winnipeg too, as I have now discovered. Let's see, what else was I doing? There were a few others here and there that I entered. I tend to do those ones with a particular friend. She and I just go for the social aspect of it. We have lots of matching t-shirts now.
Yeah. Just collect the swag all over the city. Exactly. Like Hot Chocolate Hustle. Yeah. I saw that one on your list. That's a great one because that just happened here about a little over a month ago. And like, you know, great vibe, great community feel. And like you get a mug with hot chocolate and a hat.
Exactly.
And awesome. So you and your friend probably could dress up for days with all of the swag you've gotten. But let's go back to the volunteering for a moment. We said we're going to kind of thread your own personal running story in with the volunteering. So you volunteered at, like we talked at the beginning that we're, you know, we all have a military connection. And so there was an RCAF run in there. There's a little story about volunteering with that one, is there?
Yeah. What year would that have been? I think that would have been May 2018. As you know, everywhere you go, you always know people from previous postings. And I knew some of the people involved with that and wanted, can I help volunteer in any way? And found myself at race kit pickup with some people who had, to my eyes, never worked race kit pickup before. So I was like, maybe you could do this instead and improve your flow here. And so inserted myself
improving
into
efficiency
that.
Everywhere you go.
Well, and many of the volunteers at the RCAF run were voluntold to be there. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
And may not be runners at all. And
Well, and that's not the only, you know, race you volunteered both for pickup and bike marshalling and RDing. Like, I don't even know where to start. So let's ask a high level question. Like, why? Why do you enjoy volunteering at different events?
Initially, it was for research. So early on in the being involved in Run Sage Creek, wanting to get a better sense of what it looked like on the back end of a run. And well, what better way to do that than in the lead up to it? So not on the committees, but on the race kit pickup days where, you know, it's happening. Race day is a day or two away and things are in full swing. And just to see, how is it organized? How is it set up? And lots of downtime too. So being able to just chat with people. Sometimes the race director is there. People who've been doing it for 20 years or more. A lot of times I was picking up my own race kit. So I was going anyway. So why not work a 4-hour shift? It was a fun way to just chat with people. And, you know, the person coming to run their very first race and they're super nervous, so they're afraid they're going to get lost and they don't know how anything works. And just being able to be like, hey, I was you a couple years ago. You're going to be fine. It's going to be great. Or the people who they've run every single one of these events for the last 20 years. And that's a pretty cool accomplishment too. So just sort of getting to know people and chat with people, but also the research for, you know, how does this race do that? And how does that one do this aspect of things? And seeing it in action was valuable to me for the organizing end.
You're so wise.
Yeah. So as this is all going on, because it sounds like, you know, the genesis of this was like parent advisory council and like, you know, so what are your kids thinking of all this? Are you getting them involved in all of these runs as well as much as possible? Or do they love running, hate it? Like where do they all stand?
There was a very brief period of time where they were pretty into it.
I understand.
A blink.
So I managed to convince them to do this super run at the Manitoba Marathon in 2019, which was, so that's Father's Day weekend, the super run. I think it's 5K now, but it was 4.2 then. It was like 1/10 of a marathon.
I think we were both in that race together.
Ah, okay then. And it was, so my kids then would have been, I think, some quick math while I'm talking here, it was 2018. They would have been 10 and 8 or 10 and 7. And they were they'd never really done any running before, but I convinced them, you know, it'd be super fun. We're going to go and you're going to get a medal and you're going to get a popsicle at the end. And that one is really great. I think this was the first year where they had medals at the end, I think. And they end on the turf at IG Field, which is such a fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's great. They really do such a good job. The super run is mostly families. So giving that race atmosphere and experience to kids, it was a really, they sold it for my kids. Cause after that finishing that one is the only time I've ever purchased a professional photo of my daughter and I running across the finish line.
Oh. Yeah.
And that gave
they set a pretty high bar, though. Really, right? Like, then if your kids go to another race, they're like, oh.
Well, so then they were like, okay, Mom, this is fun. And so we went and picked out a few more to do. And I thought they could do a 5K because we've just done the 4.2. And they basically picked a few, depending on the medals. They picked a few medals that they liked the look of. They loved the tiger one from the Treherne Run for the Hills. Which was just to the west of Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And so I think we did an ice cream run in the summer and then came the Treherne Run, and the weather was awful. And there were supposed to be donuts or cookies. They would remember. I don't remember at the end. And it was like horizontal ice pellets. And we were all crying. They were crying because they were just wet and miserable. And I was crying. It was like, why did I make you do this? And how am I going to get you back to the finish line? And then we got there and they got their medals. And then there weren't any donuts or cookies left or whatever it was. Oh, no. And they were done.
That
was the end. Yep. That was the end of that. Mom, we're never doing that again. I'm like, okay, because you're not invited, because this was not fun for anybody.
Right. It really is so much work, eh? Just to even get your kids there at that age. Because I think our kids are about the same age. So it's like, you know, herding cats a little bit. And it's going to be fun. And then they're like, that's not fun. Because 5K is pretty far for kids that age.
And I take the blame for this. I was overambitious. And if it had been nice weather, I think we would have been okay. But we did start a tradition after that of going out for brunch after a run, is that I was bribing them with like a giant stack of waffles or something. But that was pretty much the end of them participating. But they have been, anytime I have needed help in a volunteer capacity, like with a race, they've helped me at race kit pickups for Run Sage Creek. They've come and worked tables and done things, served food. Course marshaled, anytime I've needed an extra body, knowing they're as capable as they are, they have been very good to me and have always said, sure, Mom. So that's been good.
Okay. Well, speaking of the amazing finish line at the Manitoba Marathon and course marshaling, tell us how you ended up bike marshaling the event. And not just at the back of the pack, leading the front of the pack. Like, how did that evolve and happen?
Well, that was just me signing up. That was research. So the first year I signed up, it was 2021, the year the marathon was in September. Usually they're in June, but a COVID year, they moved to September. And I thought, well, I've never seen that part of a course or a race before. I'm decent on my bike. I will go ride my bike. So I volunteered and I was a rover, which just means you kind of go back and forth throughout the course. You're just looking for any runners who need help or any cars who are on the course and shouldn't be. A few other things. I did not have a radio. I was just, you know, meandering and making sure everybody was good. And then I signed up again the next year. I think I put about 60 kilometers on my bike. That's how much roving I did. It is a lot. Then I signed up again the next year and I was asked to do escort one of the, they don't escort people, you escort positions. So whoever's in first place, second place, third place, men, women, half and full marathon. So you're not like, I guess it depends on the person if they want to talk to you or not. You're not giving them an advantage so much as reporting in their position and making sure that there's nothing in their way. Because they're so out in front of the pack that, you know, if a car had wandered onto the course, it might not be noticed that they're there. So just making sure they have a clear route. And I did have a radio that time and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to fall off my bike. I'm not coordinated enough for this. I figured that part out.
And we're starting. First, second, third, what place were you escorting? And which distance?
So 2022, I was escorting, that was the hot year. That was the year it was shut down mid-event for heat. I was escorting the first place full marathon runner in the women's category. That was tough in the heat. It was hot. I don't know how those the runners
you were
who did happy finish.
You were on a bike.
I was. I rode through every sprinkler.
Yeah. Yes. Exciting though. Like, how did it feel to get a bird's eye view of what the lead in a marathon
great. Seat? So it was is people are very excited when they notice it's the first woman coming through. Probably the men too, but they seem extra excited, like, oh, it's the first woman, and you get lots of cheers. Well, she does. I have a sign on my bike that says that. That's how they know. And it was, I know that I don't do well running in heat. So June for a long distance for me is a bad idea. Once I did this the first year and liked it, I thought, well, that's something that I could do to be involved in the event without running in the event. And it's just, it's fun. It's a great way to, it's very exciting. I don't go to the finish line as a bike marshal. I go near to the finish line and then like send them on their way into the stadium. So
I know that like there's certain races like Boston and CIM and like New York that like it's sort of point to point. So you have to be like bussed out to the starting line and then you run in. But anytime I've ever done one of those races and I'm bussed out to the starting line, my overwhelming feeling is like, oh my gosh, that was a long way for a drive. Like I have to run all that way back. So when you bike the entire marathon course, are you like, why do people do this? Like you've never run a marathon. Are you sort of like, what the heck? Like, this is a long way. Like my butt would be so sore after 60 kilometers on my bike.
Well, I have a very comfortable bike seat.
Maybe that's my first problem.
No, it's kind of like I get a comfortable view of like amazing athletes. And it's sometimes the marathon, maybe all the time, I'm not sure. They're qualifiers for different events. And so you've got some extremely accomplished people and just enjoying their run with them at a, you know, a comfortable pace on my bicycle. So
do you like talk to them? Do you give them words of encouragement? Like I know you're probably pumping up the crowd or you're saying the crowd can see that you are the lead bike marshal. So they're getting extra excited, but are you actually doing anything additionally to, you know, make it a positive experience for those athletes?
Not really. So we're not meant to give them any specific advantage, especially the hot year. I wanted to make sure that the runner I was escorting was okay. So checking in with her maybe more than I would have. So I've only been an escort twice. And so I've asked them, you know, do you want me to ride right beside you, ahead of you, just behind you?
Do
you want me to talk to you or be quiet? Like, I don't want to make it harder for you to do your run, but I'll go wherever. Like, certain times I might have to drop back or go forward or, you know, stop and use the bathroom myself and I'll just catch up. So, just ringing my bell if I need to get someone's attention, you know, runner coming through so they're not surprised. You know, if you come up behind someone and they're wearing headphones or something and they don't hear you and they jump out of the way, you know, we don't want anybody to fall. So just making sure that there's a clear path and I don't want to interfere with their run. So I will be quiet or talk if they want.
Well, you mentioned that you escort a position, not a person. So you're having this conversation, you know, do you want me beside you, in front of you? Do you want me to talk? And then somebody overtakes the leader. Oh, and then you're having the conversation again. Like how often, you've only done it twice, but were you essentially escorting the same person for the majority of the time or was there lots of back and forth?
Let me think. So earlier on, they'd be more in a pack. And so the first, second, third bike escorts are kind of clumped up as well. And we don't want to crash or be in anyone's way. So giving people more space when they're clumped up. And then I think last year I escorted the men's half and they did change position at some point. So while there's any jostling for position happening, I'm just going to stay out of the way. And I report in with a bib number and a mile marker periodically so the command center knows where people are. But yeah, once I was established in escorting whoever it was, I just have the same thing, you know, where do you want me to be relative to you so that you feel comfortable in your run and giving them ample space for if there's a corner coming up, I'm staying completely out of the way.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. Well, so just back to your own running for a moment. I know you didn't mention this, but I just know from your notes that that first half marathon that you did that involved a little bit of walking at the end was 2:12. You finished in 2:12, and then you did one the following year and knocked that down to 2:06, I think. And so you were starting to sniff at that sub two. Yes. So, and there is a little bit of a story of how you eventually got yourself to a sub two. So maybe let's go there next.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the freak snowstorm year in Winnipeg. So we got, I don't know, it was like a foot and a half a few days before Thanksgiving, which is an abnormal amount of snow for that time of year. And so Run Sage Creek happened when there was a lot of snow. And then the half marathon race was the following weekend. And a lot of snow had melted in the interim, but there were a lot of trees damaged by the snow. So it was during race kit pickup, which I was also working at because I was picking up my own race kit. So why not? Mid shift, they called us all together and announced that the course was canceled or the race was canceled the next day because the city... the city pulled their permit because there were too many damaged trees. So the course was unsafe. So that was very disappointing for everybody involved. That poor race, my goodness, they had a bad run of years.
I tell you.
And so I decided I had trained for it. I was ready to do it. And the weather at that time was beautiful, but it was that the trees were too unstable on the course. So I decided to do it myself anyway, just around my house. And I did it in, what did I have? 1:59:12.
Wow.
Proud of that because like no traffic control, like trying to time lights and whatnot. And
No aid stations
and no cheering and nothing.
No motivation.
No race day magic. No.
So it's way harder to get that kind of performance out of yourself than it is in the race environment.
And that was pre-COVID. That was, you know, what we all groaned and struggled with during COVID. You did. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. But eventually you went on to do it in a real race setting. So what was that one? And tell us a little bit about, did it feel more satisfying to do it in the real race?
It did, only because then it was officially on a record.
You can Google that and see your name and your time.
So it took me a couple more years. So that was, that one was 2019, 2020. I didn't have any goals for that. What happened in 2021? I can't remember. Maybe I was injured. I decided I liked the fall for a half marathon. It just, the training and the timing worked better for me and my life. I did not get my, oh no, it was 2021. I did not get that for, it doesn't matter what year, 2022, I missed it by a couple minutes. And I don't know about either of you, but I can't do math when I'm running, like trying to figure out, you know, am I going to make it? If I push like a little tiny bit faster, am I going to do it? I did not do it. And so I finally got my official sub two record last fall at WFPS. So 2023. Yes, just by a few seconds, but it doesn't matter. It counts.
So for our listeners that don't know, WPS is Winnipeg Police Service.
And
right?
WFPS is Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service. So WPS is in the spring, WFPS is in the fall.
Yes. Okay, well, congratulations on that. That's a 2-hour barrier. I don't know what it is. It's significant. So good job. Yeah.
And now somewhere along the way, we know that you ventured into triathlon. So again, going back to being a hater of all forms of exercise, where in the world, I mean, we know you got on your bike to bike marshal the lead woman around. What inspired you to take up triathlon?
That is a good question. I was, you know, dabbling with this two hour goal, figured it was attainable. And ultimately it was, but also thinking, you know, I've done that. Even if it was unofficial, I did do it. So maybe I need a different goal. And at that point, I wasn't sure if a full marathon was something I would ever want to try. And I'm still not sure if it is. Just the amount of time required to get myself able to do that, I don't know if that's something I want to commit to. However, turns out I was willing to commit a whole lot more time to try triathlon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I knew that I was weak at swimming, that I think for a lot of new triathletes, the swim is the barrier. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I would need time in the pool, probably help with my stroke, and maybe needing that sort of accountability and commitment to doing a workout, because I can very easily convince myself I'm not going to do it. I decided to join a triathlon club, which was another great way to meet people and put myself out there in the city. And I found one that was a really excellent fit for me. And this is my second year with them, and they have been wonderful. So not only did I need to learn better swimming, I needed to learn how to do a triathlon, because I think before I considered this, I didn't know what order you did the sports in. I didn't know how you transitioned from one to the other or anything. So that's been great. I do off-season training with them. And last summer I did two triathlons in the city, and I did one, did well enough and liked it well enough to sign up for a second one.
Okay. And so were those sprint triathlons?
Yes. So sprint distance. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you mentioned I found a triathlon club that was a good fit for me. You've also established that you're pretty darn good at moving and inserting yourself into communities all over North America. So for somebody who might be in that place, you know, they're in a new community, they really don't know where they're a good fit. How do you know this is a good fit for me type of triathlon club? Like, what are those things that you look for or questions you ask? Do you just end up going to a few events and organically feeling it? Or like, how does that happen for you?
There Triathlon Manitoba has a bunch of sanctioned clubs, and I looked them up different websites and looked at their social media, and I picked the ones that looked like they weren't super elite and about my age. So I thought, I'm never going to be super competitive. I don't have time or interest in what that might take. If it was even possible, I don't have time or interest in committing to trying to get to that point. So experienced people who look friendly and about my age and fitness level, I suppose, is sort of what I was shooting for. And a Trifactor Triathlon Club is comprised of wonderful people who are super fun. So it's been a very nice time for me to do that.
Okay. So now bouncing back to insert your tendency and predisposition to finding yourself race directing events. Talk to us about Beat the Cold.
Okay. So the sanctioned triathlon clubs in Manitoba, part of the sanctioning is you have to put on a triathlon every summer or every year. And so most of the clubs do the traditional summer swim, bike, run. And there are a few great ones at different parts of the city and the province. But our club does one called Beat the Cold, which is in collaboration with One Just City, which provides emergency overnight warming centers for unhoused people in Winnipeg, as well as many other great community programs. And so this event was started in 2018 or 19, long before I was involved. And it was took place on the river trails at the Forks. So the event was staged out of sort of the Forks Port area, the skating rink at the junction of the Assiniboine and Red Rivers. And so participants would they would run 5K and then bike 5K and then skate 5K all on the river.
And so this is in the winter.
February, when the rivers are frozen, when the rivers are supposed to be frozen. Do you hear that, Mother Nature?
Yeah. Not so much this year, right?
So last year, just a new member of Trifactor, I was just one of many people volunteering to put on this event. I found myself at the finish line, and I was like marshaling finishers through the finish line. So before that, I had never seen a triathlon. of any kind. I didn't know what transition was. I didn't know how timing worked. I didn't know anything for triathlon. And then our club was looking for, you know, who would race direct for this year. And I said, okay, I will do that.
Of course you did.
So I did say, you know, I probably am moving in 2024, so I can do it this year. I am organized. I will make it my mission to like keep really good records and document and sort of leave a playbook to make it easier for whoever takes it on after me. So that's what we did. We have a really great committee, small but mighty committee of experienced club members. And then One Just City provides some support as well. And we had Bikes and Beyond. They had a person involved as well. They're a bike shop in the city helping out in the organizing. And so ideally it takes place on the rivers, but with no river this year being frozen, we had to pivot and contingency plan and then plan again and then jig the plan again. And it was a full-time, very stressful job in the last couple of weeks before race day, which they had to one time before go to when the river wasn't usable, do a run bike run. So triathlon, if you have a problem with one of the elements, you can switch it out to be a duathlon like that. And that's what we had to do. But back to that transparency and messaging and yep. Honest communication with participants so that, you know, obviously in September, we can't promise ice for February. So, you know, being as straightforward as possible with what you're going to get, we're going to aim to deliver a really great outdoor winter multi-sport activity. Fundraising was a big part of that because it is in support of One Just City. So regardless of what the actual event is, we always hope that the fundraising is a major part of it. And it was. And we had excellent turnout, tremendous support from Triathlon Manitoba. I can't say enough about how much they helped and saved us at various times. They want it to be successful as well, of course, and lots of new multi-sport athletes who had never tried an event like this before. So lots of people, the first time they went winter biking, and it was great. Very
what
stressful.
Are people using, like fat bikes or something?
Yeah, mostly fat bikes, some mountain bikes, but mostly fat bikes.
Okay.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You off there, Carolyn. Yeah, no. Like that's a huge feat. Like to take something on new, to have all the curveballs that you had thrown at you. And it sounds like it really was a success. And you just redefined what success meant for this event. So
yeah, and just piggybacking on that, that's exactly what I was gonna say. It sounds like it's a thread of how your Sage Creek kind of RDing started is that I'm not an experienced like runner/triathlete, but okay, sure, I'll take it on. I'm organized, I have skills. I'm wondering if now that you've done that a few times, if you think that there's any advantage to not knowing anything about a thing when you take it on. Like, could you be coming in there with fresh eyes? I don't want to put like words in your mouth, but I really do think when somebody comes in and doesn't like have an expectation about this is how it's going to unfold, because this is how every other thing that I've ever done has unfolded, that you might be able to come in just with a fresh lens and be able to offer something just a little different than everybody expects.
For sure. And I think that would apply in lots of situations, but certainly a whole committee of people who don't know what they're doing, probably not, but, yeah. but, you know, a new person, you know, I think I embrace that, not being afraid to say, you know what, I'm new and I don't know what you're talking about. Could you explain that, please? Or have you thought about doing this? And sometimes the answer is yes, we have, and that's a terrible idea, and here's why. But then I learned something from that. But then other times it's, well, maybe I can apply this thing I learned over here to this new this new thing, and why not? So yeah, absolutely.
Why not? Exactly. Yeah. So often the questions aren't asked because people assume, you know, they've been asked 10 years ago, so we're not going to go there again. But you come in with a new idea, and well, why not? And the answer is, well, yeah, why not? Let's do this differently, right?
So, and I think you're also right in the, like, as long as you're transparent in your communication about, like, this is what you can expect to get, and this is what you, like, what is sort of uncertain or up in the air, like ice on the rivers in February, then I think people are totally fine with it. It's when they come in thinking it's going to be this thing, and then it's botched and it doesn't get delivered, and then people are upset, right? Because there is a discrepancy in what they were promised and what they actually got. But I think, yeah, leading with that communication, and it sounds like you have very strong communication skills, so it's probably what makes you a great RD. Keep doing it.
There's so much work that goes into organizing events. Like, you know, I love attending events, and props to all of the people who work behind the scenes. Like, you know, there's so many moving parts and so many people, mm-hmm. and without even one of them, the whole thing would fall apart. So anytime you're at an event and you know, you see all those wheels in motion, though, those wheels started turning a year ago, mm-hmm. 8 months ago, and involve so many people and so many hours. So, you know, I have been thanked as a volunteer, and it feels sort of silly for somebody to run past me and say, thanks for volunteering. But, you know, it means a lot. And to know the amount of work and appreciate it, because we wouldn't have any of these great events to participate in. Very few of them are paid, right? Like, most of the things it's because someone has a passion and decides to put it on.
Okay, so it seems like you've had some really interesting experiences, both as an athlete participating in events and as a volunteer and race director. What are some of your best memories of running and racing over the last few years?
Oh gosh, there are so many of them. I think that there are so many of them. I think that Winnipeg is so fortunate to have such a varied and active and vibrant running community. There's running clubs. There's so many events. I could do an event. It would be very expensive, but I could do an event every weekend, sometimes more than one in a weekend, all within, you know, a half an hour drive of my house. And I don't think that's the case for a lot of places. So having such a high bar for what the running community can be. I know that's not a single memory or issue, but that's a takeaway for me for Winnipeg for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And sort of back to on that note, like when we've lived in other places that are like bigger, more spread out, like, you know, Belleville, Ontario, you know, you could leave for the weekend and go to Toronto or go to Ottawa or go to Montreal. And, you know, but when you're in Winnipeg, you're going to probably
you're in Winnipeg.
And I think that maybe a little bit of what's underneath why it is, because it's not a small city. Like it's a big, small city. We always like to say, right. And the things that are going to happen are going to happen in that kind of 30-minute radius. And that makes for, you know, being able to, like you said, have something like every weekend for 52 weeks of the year.
It's a concentrated situation.
It's a concentrated. So I think that it has that going for it for sure. We always like to ask who has inspired you along your running and volunteering. Like, I think that's a huge part of your story. Is there anyone that maybe stands out in that sense of who's really, you know, made a strong impression on you along the way?
So fitness wise, I don't know that I've ever said this to him directly, but my husband has always been he's a very fit, active guy for his personality, but also for work. But he's never like, he goes to the gym, he does team sports, and that is absolutely not me, but he's always just been like quietly there being fit, being active. And he runs so much faster than I do. Never entered an event and has zero interest, but just having that, I don't know, good role model. It sounds sort of silly, but he sets a really good example of just how to integrate being active into your life. So that's a good example for our kids. Mm-hmm. I like to think I now do as well. That would not have been the case 10 years ago, but we now own a lot of our own gym equipment, which is, you know, it's been him shopping for, and then I use it. So he's taught me a lot about bikes. Yeah. So probably him, actually. Yeah.
That's a great answer. Person to be a source of inspiration for you. Mm-hmm. So final question before we wrap it up here. What has running, or let's say athletics, taught you over the last decade?
That it's never too late to start something. Mm-hmm. Like, I think 10 years ago, me would be shocked at where I currently am. And I'm not super accomplished in terms of, I'm not really fast. I can't run super far compared to what lots of people do. But I'm doing it. I'm surprised that I'm doing it and like it. Like, I continue to be like, oh, I'm out for a run and I like it. Right? Remember how I used to hate this?
Here I am again. Yeah. Running.
I do a lot of thinking while I'm running, because I definitely noticed when I'm swimming in the pool, I have to think about the mechanics of it so much. And it's hard that I have to think about swimming in order to not drown. Yeah. But when I'm running, it's just, I don't have to think about it and my mind wanders and I enjoy where I am, or I, you know, I have great ideas for other parts of my life when I'm running. And, so it's brought me to get to know my neighborhood and my community and my city. Mm-hmm. And it's led me to lots of wonderful people. And I celebrate their successes along with them. I don't find it's, like, it's not a competition. I don't know. The where I'm at in the running community is very, very, like, everybody is cheering for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's just a really positive, rewarding place to be. And I don't know, people think, oh, I'm not a runner. I'm super slow, or I wouldn't be able to run. I'm like, sure, that's what I thought. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So it's not too late to start, no matter where you think you're at with your fitness or your activity level.
Such a great message. A great message. So, you know, you went from 3K to 10K to half marathon. Do I even dare ask what's next for you? Do you have anything that your sights are set on for 2024 or beyond?
I don't know about distance or a specific event. I'd like to keep up with triathlon. Mm-hmm. I anticipate moving to somewhere that is not flat. So I'm going to have to learn how to run on hills. Mm-hmm. and maybe some trail running is in my future.
Ooh.
Yes.
Kim's ears just popped up.
Always a good thing. Okay, well, we'll be excited to see what
trail race you direct.
Yeah. Boom.
So yeah. I do know. I need to just, you know, give myself some time to settle into wherever where I get to before I raise my hand for that. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But if the pattern repeats, I mean, there's some race directing in your future.
Possible.
All right. So if anybody is intrigued by the many events that we've talked about during this episode, we will link to them in the show notes. Another great place to find a directory of pretty much all the races in Manitoba, road races at least. Manitoba Runners Association is the place to check that out. And we'll, again, put that in the show notes. So thank you so much, Jen, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Mm-hmm. You sound like, you know, a real ambassador for all things running and now triathlon in our community. So thank you so much for what you do. And keep training and running strong.
Thank you both so much for having me.